Hello, Frederick.
Yes.
Well, that was Musica Electronica Viva, and that was Spacecraft. After a beginning that was a little disastrous, and it wasn't Spacecraft, it was AMM, a wary listener phoned and said, no, 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 so we flipped it over quickly.
Yes, I know. There was a confusion about that. Are we on the air?
Yes,
we are.
Oh, okay. Yes, there was amusing confusion about that record, because half of the apparently about half of them came out with the label switched, and so it meant that nobody could be sure which group they were hearing.
Well, Jim Horton's very knowledgeable. He's a fabulous composer living around here in Berkeley, and he said that the long pauses were in AMM, and he knew the music very, very well, so he was very sure.
So thanks, Jim.
The long pauses? What long pauses?
There were long pauses in the AMM piece.
In the AMM piece, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
And yours is very, very dense and very beautiful, and my dad.
Well, both groups were interesting at that time. Yeah, and both groups still exist.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't realize that MEV still exists.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, we just did a concert in Amsterdam about 2 months ago.
Who played in that one, Frederick?
That was, besides me, there was Alvin Curran, Richard Teitelbaum, Garrett List, and George Lewis.
Oh, that's so pretty much the whole crew.
Yeah. Steve Lacy was supposed to come, and Anthony Braxton would have come, but it wasn't possible this time. But it was a typical MEV gathering.
Were there lots of people
at that concert? Not huge amounts. No, it was in Amsterdam at the small hall of the Concertgebouw, which holds maybe 300 people or something like that.
Kind of a silly question. Did you do anything that sounded similar to what we heard tonight, or similar to what you were doing 20 years ago when you guys get together? Does it?
Tutor.
Yes, and he used to combine the music lessons with general ideas about society and politics and current events and so forth.
How old were you, did you say?
I first started working with him when I was 7 and studied with him until I was 14.
Oh, that's really impressionable age.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
Yes, he introduced, he was the first person to tell me about people like Karl Marx and Freud.
God.
And Schoenberg and Shostakovich and
a
slew of other people.
You're one lucky guy. I'm not joking. I mean, I know I sound like I am, but I mean, that's quite astounding, you know, to have a piano teacher that turn out to be that, you know, that amazingly well-rounded.
He was unusual. Incredible. He was unusual. He was a temperamental sort of person. But I think basically a good teacher.
What do you dream about?
Right now, currently?
Yeah.
Or a long time ago?
No, currently.
Well, I'm not sure I should say this over the air.
Oh, it's late, you know. Don't worry about it. The FCC isn't around. Just pour your heart out.
Maybe I'll just put it in terms of, in general terms.
Yes, of course.
All kinds of things.
Okay.
Yeah, it really is late, isn't it?
All kinds of things, really, really, all kinds of things that you could imagine dreaming about.
Do you have any recurring dreams?
Not especially, no, except there are perhaps themes that recur.
What are the themes?
Well, again, I have to be sort of general.
Well, you can, you know, there are ways of saying these things that, you know, aren't too
Pleasure and Power.
Oh, that's
how about that?
Very nice. Very nice.
Always a hit combo.
So do you think there's any hope for the planet?
Hope is a peculiar concept. I remember I was in Japan last year, and somehow I got into the subject of hope. I forget exactly why, and found myself trying to explain the meaning of the word hope to some Japanese friends. And I remember my friends were saying, "Well, what do you mean hope? You mean you expect? You mean that something such and such a thing is probably going to happen?" And it was actually the first time that I was confronted with the complexity of this concept. So I had to explain, well, no, it's just the opposite. Hope means that you think that something probably isn't going to happen.
That's right.
And therefore, there's only hope. It's hope is not necessarily a very positive thing.
Well, it's not.
It can be the reflection of a pessimistic state of mind.
Well,
so I prefer not to think of it in terms of hope, but calculated rational action.
Well, would you have children?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then that kind of answers something. That shows a little hope.
Oh, yes, yes. Answer that I know to that question, that kind of question, is I remember hearing from Judith Malina, from an old friend from, you know, the Living Theater, who always refers to herself as an optimalist.
What's, oh gosh, great.
Yeah. It means that she is basically a pessimist, but she tries to make the best of a bad situation. It's different from optimism.
Yeah, I think I would classify myself as such. I'm really very pessimistic, but kind of have a good time every day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all you can hope for, actually, or think about. Now I'm hesitant about using the word hope, but, you know, may as well take it a day at a time. What about advice to young or new composers?
Oh, well, don't let them stop you from composing.
Really?
They'll always try to find a way to keep you from composing.
Yeah, I found even people in the audience tonight, there were a few that were that wanted to stop one from composing, you know?
They
try all the time. And I think it's because they're not composing or something like that. Or they're not doing something that's gripping them enough.
I don't know what the reasons are. They have very subtle ways of doing it. One of them is to give you money. They'll pay you not to compose.
Oh, really?
Well, they have different approaches according to the various, stages at which your composing disease is advanced. They're more or less radical degrees of therapy. So when you get to be when it gets to be a really serious case of composing, they will offer you large sums of money to, say, write an opera.
Oh, I see. Keep you quiet for a year.
Well, it's a good way to keep you out of circulation.
Has that happened to you?
Yeah, that hasn't happened to me yet.
Hasn't happened to you.
But I'm aware that this exists.
Is there a big difference in America and Europe of today?
In what sense?
Well, I was going to ask you about the audiences, you know, just as contemporary music appreciated more avidly in Europe. I tend to think that it does, but I was even thinking in a very broad sense, just living, day-to-day living, first of all, and then getting to the audience's view of contemporary music.
Well, there are certain differences, but I suppose they're basically trivial compared to the larger problems of the society. But some of them are rather interesting. I mean, for one thing, in Europe, I think there is easier. easier access to a lot of this music for a number of reasons. The main reason perhaps being the existence of a radio structure.
In Europe.
Which is very important for the dissemination of this kind of music. And it exists in this country too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, KPFA, that's all.
Oh, no. The National Public Radio is, there are hundreds of stations all over the country, very small, weak stations that transmit this kind of music over a limited area, and it's very important. But it is not as highly developed as it is in Europe. So it probably reaches a smaller audience, proportionately. And that seems to be the most important medium for this particular kind of music, which tends not to get onto records, or at least only a small percentage of it gets onto records. And the main way in which it is passed around is through radio, and then through the from hand to hand by people giving each other cassettes. And those are the two ways in which this kind of music gets around. But radio is the more important of the two. And in Europe, it's somewhat more sophisticated and
more widespread. More people listen.
And it's subsidized too. So
that's a big difference. This is listener subsidized.
A listener had a question earlier. Do you have any CDs out? Any of your music?
Yes, well, one is coming out now in Belgium.
That's the Triumph of Death, right?
Yeah, but it will be a very limited circulation, and it will be hopeless to try to get it in this country.
So there are no, you don't have any widely distributed CDs already out or coming out anytime soon that you know of?
No, there are important gaps in the recording. In fact, some of the records that have existed no longer exist.
I still see them occasionally in record stores, though. Even some of the old ones are still in the old contemporary music bins and things like that. So
yes, but I believe you played, for instance, the Four Pieces, which was recorded on Vanguard.
Right.
That's right.
Now, the Vanguard record company itself no longer exists. Mm-hmm. It was sold to Lawrence Welk.
Oh, my God.
And I don't know what happened to all of the records.
Bring out the bubble machine. Describe a perfect day.
A perfect day?
Yes.
Could you explain what you mean?
Oh, okay. You wake up and you have a choice of the day is stretching ahead of you, and you have a choice of what you want to do with that day, how you want to spend it. How would you spend a day that you have to yourself or with some people that you like to be with? What would you like to do?
I don't think that the thing that you are describing exists. There are many perfect days. In fact, they're all perfect. And they're all different. So I don't think there is one that is more perfect than any other.
Did you have a good day today?
A wonderful day.
Oh, that's good. I feel like I've been with you part of the day anyway, well, from the early morning listening to you on the radio and meeting you this evening.
A perfect day is one where you wake up and you look around you and you realize that you don't have to buy the newspaper to find out what's happened, because the most important thing that's happened is that the world is still there.
That's right.
And what could be more perfect.
And if you move to San Francisco, you'll never be able to get a newspaper that tells you anything. So be prepared for that.
Oh, I'm familiar with that.
So William Wynant is here in the studio, and he's got his flower pot set up, and he's going to do a radio premiere of To the Earth, solo percussion piece by Frederick Shevsky.
Well, that's terrific. Should we talk about it a bit?
Yes,
tell
definitely.
People what it is?
I just want to tell everyone else and the FCC that you're listening to listener-sponsored radio, KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno. This is Barb on Crack O' Dawn with Kenneth Atchley in the studio. And you're listening to 7 hours of the music of Frederick Shefsky. And I think two of those hours have already passed, most agreeably, 5 hours left. And William Winant is here. Hello, William.
Howdy.
Hi. Frederick, when did you write this piece?
This piece was written, let me see, when was it? 85, Francois tells me. 1985 in the summertime. And it was written for John Williams, who's a percussionist who lives in Buffalo, New York, who had asked me to write a piece for involving a small number of instruments, because he wanted to take it on tour, and he wanted to have something that he could play which would not involve a large amount of things to carry. So I had just read an article about clay in the newspaper. Apparently there are new discoveries being made about the structure of clay, which are very interesting, which is comes from research funded by NASA, who because they are, as you know, planning trips to other planets and exploring situations under which life might arise. And there's a new theory about the origin of life. The classic theory was the so-called primal soup theory, which has been around for a number of years. But there's now a new theory, which, according to which organic molecules may have formed within the molecules of clay, which are themselves very large molecules, and which may have acted as a template for the formation of amino acids. And it turns out that clay has other interesting properties. It has also the capacity to store energy for long periods of time, like thousands of years, and it's not well understood how and how this takes place. In other words, it turns out that perhaps clay is a kind of semi-living thing, semi-living substance. And at the same time, I've long had this text that I wanted to deal with, which is the Homeric Hymn to the Earth, which is from the 7th century before Christ. And I'd long wanted to do something with this text, so when I read this article, it seemed like this was the right time to try to do something with it. And the idea of the flower pots came from the fact that they're quite light and very cheap, and in fact you don't have to carry them around, because if you're on tour, you can go to any florist and buy four pots, which sound pretty well, for less than a dollar.
Is that true, Willie? Did it cost you less than a dollar?
No, it's not true. It cost me maybe $3.
Oh, well, prices have gone up.
It's inflation, you know.
Tough, Willie.
Anyway, they're still pretty cheap.
Yeah, it is. I'm just teasing you.
And that's where this piece came from.
So this is a West Coast premiere, and on Monday night at the Green Room, San Francisco Contemporary Players.
Right. This is like what I've considered. This is what we call a.
This is a dress rehearsal.
Yeah, we call this a work in progress dress rehearsal. We're kind of doing like what the Kronos String Quartet does on KPFA, except that we're doing it at 3 a.m. and, you know, slightly inebriated.
It's 2 a.m.
2 a.m, right.
Hate to correct you, but...
Okay, but we're doing it anyway.
All right, so are you ready to breathe even more life into the clay? To the earth, Frederick Shevsky.
Earth, mother of all, I will sing the well established the oldest who nourishes on her surface everything that lives. Those things that walk upon the holy ground, and those that swim in the sea, and those that fly, all these are nourished by your abundance. It is thanks to you if we humans have healthy children and rich harvests. Great Earth, you have the power to give life to and to take it away. From creatures that must die. Happy are the ones when you honor with your kindness and gifts what they have built will not vanish. Their fields are fertile. Their herds prosper. And their houses are full of good things. Their cities are governed with just laws. Their women are beautiful. Good fortune and wealth follow them. Children are radiant with the joy of youth. The young women play in the flowery meadows. Dancing with happiness in their hearts. Holy Earth, Undying Spirit, so it is with those whom you honor. Hail to you. Mother of life. You who are loved by the starry sky.
be generous and give me a happy life. In return for my song, so that I can continue to praise you with my music.
Yeah, we got a clap.
Bravo, bravo. Frederick, are you still there?
Yes, I am. That was a beautiful performance.
Wasn't
Thank you very
wonderful?
Much.
Wonderful piece. So, listeners have the opportunity of hearing and seeing this piece on Monday night at the green room of the museum. I don't think I have a number on me. It's, let's see.
558?
Yes.
0447. That's the office of the Contemporary Music Players.
Can you say that again?
558-0447.
And that's Monday evening at 8 o'clock. And Frederick, you'll be playing what?
I'm going to play a long piano piece called The People United Will Never Be Defeated.
And we're going to hear that this evening as well. Or this morning as well. But I thought that we should hear the triumph of death now. Go from life to the triumph of death.
The two things are connected.
Yes, certainly. Can you just set this up before you go to sleep?
Set it up? How?
Well, explain what we're going to be hearing.
Well, you're going to play the English language version.
I am.
Which is not perfect recording quality, so the listeners are going to have to put up with a certain amount of tape hiss.
As I said, I listened to it at home on my little boombox, and it sounded quite all right.
Well, it could be worse, I suppose. But what we're going to hear then is the prologue and the first nine sections of this oratorio, which in its complete version lasts a little less than 2 hours. What we have here is, I guess, something like 90 minutes worth of music. It's a oratorio, in this case, for four singers and string quartet. The text is based on or taken from a play by Peter Weiss called The Investigation. This play was written by Peter Weiss in 1965. It's one of a series of plays which he wrote in the 60s, which belong to a genre which he called documentary theater. And like the other plays, it is based on documentary material. In this case, the testimony, which was given at the trial in 1964 in Frankfurt, Germany, of former guards in Auschwitz. The play is in 11 sections, and the oratorio consists of 13 sections. The first section is purely instrumental, it's for the string quartet alone, and then we're going to hear nine movements. In each movement consists of a section of text which is taken from the corresponding is a performance which was done in at the Yale School of Music in April of 1988. At that time, the piece was not quite complete. I had only finished 9 of the 11 parts.
And this is what's on the Belgian CD, right? That's to be coming out next month, but that's in French.
Yes, but it's that's in French, and it's a slightly different version of the music, but it also contains sections that are not in this cassette that you have.
Well, we're just rewinding it to get back onto side A, and William is leaving very shortly, so did you have anything to say about his performance before we listen to The Triumph of Death?
I thought it was very, very beautiful, and I'd like to thank him once again.
Thank you. Also,
well, I have to still work on my page turns and stuff like that. But
I didn't notice the page turns.
You really do. You're doing the text very, very well. It's extremely touching, I find.
Well, it's that's the a new thing for me, playing and talking at the same time. So.
Well, you can. Great. I've seen nice you piece. Eat and talk at the same time.
It's just like you know, it's one of those things.
It's one of those things.
The Kronos Quartet have nothing on me. Yeah. I even cut my hair, kind of, for the concert.
Very slick.
Really special.
Very slick. Yeah.
But no, it's a beautiful piece, and it's, you know.
Well, thanks once
great
again.
Piece.
Well, thank you, Frederick.
Thank
very
you
very much, and. We're going to continue on here, and I hope that you listen to a bit of that. Certainly understand that you've heard all these things many times.
Good luck, and come back soon, Frederick.
Well, thank you, William, and I'll see you tomorrow at the rehearsal.
Okay.
Okay.
10 o'clock sharp.
Good night. Bonsoir, Françoise.
Oh, yeah.
You want to say au revoir,
sure,
Françoise
yeah.
and Marie.
Françoise?
Wait, I'll put her on. Hold
okay.
on a second. Here she is.
Yeah.
Bonsoir, Françoise.
Bonsoir.
Et de bons rêves.
Absolument, yeah.
Oui.
Toi aussi.
Et au revoir.
Au revoir, à bientôt.
Okay.
Au revoir.
À lundi.
Yes.
Oui, à lundi.
Françoise, okay. This is Willy.
Yeah, it's Willy.
I will think of you in my dreams.
Yeah, do that. Yeah. I'll do the same.
Okay.
Good
bonsoir.
Night.
Goodbye.
So, Triumph of Death, Frederick Schiff.
Yeah.